In today's Mishnah, when the fourth and fifth Mishnah from the fifth Perek Masechet Eiruah, the Mishnah begins. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Shnei Dvarim Mekula Beit Shammai Mechum Beit Hillel. Rabbi Eliezer, or the another version is Rabbi Elazar, he's of the opinion that there are two more cases where Beit Shammai rules more leniently than Beit Hillel. And what are these? The first is Dam Yoledet Shalo Tavla. So we've referred to your letter before. A woman who actually gives birth, if they say she gives birth to a boy, the first week she is Tmeya, and then the dam, any blood from the 33 days that follow it, so until the completion of 40 days, is considered dam tohar. The question is, this dam yoledet, after that week, what is its status? Meaning, because she didn't immerse, so she's still tmeya, how is it a source of tumah? So we'll explain in a minute. Beit Shammai says, karuka uchemim mei ragleha. Her being a tmeya, this blood is treated like her spittle or her urine, that it's metame in the same fashion as anything that any other liquids that leave her. Meaning, what's the difference there? The difference is that it's metame, it would be a source of tumah, it would make someone tame only while it is moist, but not once it dried. However, Beit Hillel says, no, metame lach viavesh, meaning it's considered still, any dam that comes out would still be considered like dam nida, despite the fact during that 30-day period, had she immersed in a mikvah, that dam would be considered tahor. But because she hasn't immersed, according to Beit Hillel, that dam is considered like dam nida, and therefore, even if it dried, it would be a source of tumah. Mishnah continues, Umodim b'yoledet bezov. If, however, at the time when she gave birth, she was a zava, and when we learn Masechta Nedah, we'll learn about how that occurred in more detail, then everyone agrees, since she's considered a zava, that, and she hasn't gone through the Shiva Nikiyim, the 7 clean days, in order to make a tahora from her being a zava, then she's matame melach v'yavesh, so that the dam, any blood, would still be like dam zava or dam nida, such that it would be a source of tumah. Both would agree while it is moist or when it has dried. Not important now to go into too much detail, because when we saw the Masechta Nida, but the differences, I think we may have even touched on already, but the difference between nida and a zava, but I think that's sufficient to understand this Mishnah, that depending on what time of the month she would see dam would define her as a nida or a zava. But we'll go into more detail when we learn these sugyas in the systematic approach that we learn Mishnahs in regular Masechtot. Let's know Mishnah Hei. Arba achim shnei achen mehem nesuot shtei achiot. So we're dealing with a case, once again returning to Masechta Yevamot. That is a case of four brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters. Meto nesu l'achayot. The two brothers that were married to the two sisters both passed away, and neither of them have any children. So you've got two surviving brothers, and the question is, do these two sisters require Yibum Chalitza or not? Mishnah says, Hare uluchotza v'lo mityabmot. The law is, yes, they require Chalitza, but one cannot perform Yibum to them. Why? Because each of the sisters, one of the brothers wanted to do Yibum, say to one of the sister, the issue is that each sister is considered Achot Zkukato, meaning it's the sister of another person he has obligation to Yibum to. Since each brother, or the brother, has obligation to perform Yibum to, or there's a zikah, there's a requirement of Yibum Chalitza to both sisters at the same time, and they are sisters with one another, that prevents him from performing Yibum to either of the sisters. But since it's not really an Isur, there doesn't exist an Isur Arayot per se, meaning the Yavama is not the sister of his actual wife, that's why Chalitza is still required. And we learned this about this back in Masechta Yevamot. The Mishnah continues with the debate, which is the second one according to Rabbi Eliezer. V'im kadmu v'kansa yotzi. According to the Tanakhama, if the brothers went ahead and nonetheless performed Yibum to these two sisters, then Mishnah says, still doesn't work, they would have to divorce them. Yotzi beget. Rabbi Eliezer omer mishum Beit Shammai yikaimu Beit Hillel omrim yotziu. So this is where Rabbi Eliezer comes in with his second case, saying this case is actually the subject of debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The Queen of Beit Shammai, since both of them have actually performed Yibum Bidiyeved, meaning, again, we had this issue of Achot Zkukato, but the obligation of Yibum still existed, and they perform Yibum, then they can just stay together, they don't have to be divorced. And it's Beit Hillel who disagrees. Beit Hillel is of the opinion that says, no, they weren't allowed to perform Yibum, so once having violated, if you like, this prohibition of actually performing Yibum, therefore they have to be divorced. Interestingly here, the Brayta in the Gemara actually says it's Abba Shaul that disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer and holds that the positions are reversed, which is Beit Shammai is being more Machmir Beit Hillel, not the other way around. But once again, we can understand why this case is brought here, because it's Rabbi Eliezer saying that this is another one of those cases where Beit Shammai rules more leniently than Beit Hillel. Those are the Mishnah today.